You're listening to So You Want to Be a Writer, the podcast about the world of writing and publishing. My name's Valerie Koo, and I'm your co-host and CEO of the Australian Writers' Centre, where you'll find writing courses and a wonderfully supportive writing community. Regular listeners will know that I usually co-host this podcast every week with Alison Tate, also known as A.L. Tate, author of The Firestar, a Maven and Reeve mystery. But this in-between episode, well, I'm flying solo, and it's just you, me, and our guest author. So it's going to be a story session, and in these sessions, you'll hear the first chapter of a book that we recommend, often read by the author themselves, who also will give you a little short insight into their writing process. Listening to the first chapter like this lets you sample something new and introduces you to a new author, hopefully. And it's all very easy to do because you can do it while you're on your commute or you're in the car or you're at home, scrubbing away at the grouting as I recently did. It's a great way to discover new authors because sometimes it's not that easy to get down to the bookshop. So we're bringing the bookshop to you. This week, I've chosen The Chase by Candace Fox. So excited. This is another brilliant crime thriller from Candace. This is set in the Nevada desert, and it's probably her most exciting yet, which is saying something because her books are awesome. If you're not familiar with the book, here's the blurb. When more than 600 of the world's most violent human beings pour out from Pronghorn Correctional Facility in the Nevada desert, the biggest manhunt in US history begins. But for John Cradle, this is his one chance to prove his innocence, 5 years after the murder of his wife and child. He just needs to stay one step ahead of the teams of law enforcement officers he knows will be chasing down the escapees. Death Row supervisor turned fugitive hunter, Celine Osborne, is single-minded in her mission to catch Cradle. She has very personal reasons for hating him, and she knows exactly where he's heading. Oh, okay, you see what I mean? More than 600 criminals on the loose. Only Candace could handle that. But Candace herself admits it was a bit of a challenge, as you'll hear in a moment. Before she reads from her novel, Candace talks about the massive challenge that she set herself, but also the rewards of writing this book. She also talks about her writing process, including squeezing in writing whenever she can, which is advice I think all writers need to hear. So here is Candace Fox reading from her novel, The Chase.
Hi, I'm Candace Fox, and I'm the author of The Chase. It's a thrilling crime novel about a massive breakout from a prison outside Nevada and the experiences of the criminals and law enforcement officials who have to deal with this massive event. Valerie asked me to record the answers to some questions before I narrate the first chapter of The Chase for you, so I'm having a look here. Question one, what inspired me to write this story? I've been around prisons my whole life. My father worked in a prison in Sydney, and we would have the Christmas party for Dad and his colleagues at the prison. So, you know, I can remember being 7 or 8 years old and running around this prison while all the inmates were locked up. And getting a tour of the different areas, and it was just sort of normalized for me being in that environment, seeing inmates, seeing guards, seeing gates and things. They tell you to write what you know, but I think that's true, but I think you should also write what you're fascinated by. And I've always been fascinated by prisons and what my dad did. My mum is someone who's also kind of fascinated by prisons. She was writing to 20 prison inmates at one point when I was young. And so we were receiving these letters and artworks from murderers and, you know, pedophiles and criminals and robbers and all kinds of things coming to the house. And I was reading them. She would let me read her true crime. She would let me read her police magazines that she would get, and my parents didn't worry too much, it seems, when I was listening to their stories, Dad's work stories and Mum's true crime stories. Can you describe your writing process? Look, I have a daughter, Violet, She is 20 months old today, and she is just a ball of chaos in my life, really. So I write around her. If she's napping, I write. If she's going to the in-laws' place to be cared for the day, that's a major writing day for me. I've always been someone who just writes whenever I can. All the different jobs that I had before I became a full-time writer, I just squeezed writing in. I was in the Navy and I would write between watches on the ship. And when I worked in a tattoo shop, I would write between customers coming in and getting their tattoos. And I've just squeezed it in wherever I can. It's a bit of a gift, I think, because I know other writers who can only write at a certain time of day, at a certain desk, you know, while they're wearing a certain outfit. And that's just not how I do it. I do it whenever, wherever, by hand if I have to, depending on deadlines. What was the most challenging aspect of this book? This book is very ambitious in size, because it's 653 inmates escaping a prison in Nevada in the desert. And I just left myself so many opportunities in doing that for amazing stories. They're all of the death row inmates, for example, are on the loose now. You've got different gang members out there on the loose. You've got every single member of the prison trying to deal with this in different ways. You've got guards, you've got the warden, you've got law enforcement officials who have been brought in. So I sort of created this huge smorgasbord of characters that I could not resist writing the perspectives of. So there's, you know, there's about 18 million perspectives in this book is what I'm telling you. There are these little vignettes that I go off and investigate this little criminal and this victim of crime, or this police officer and how they're experiencing the breakout. And then there's, you know, there's four or five main threads that run through the novel. So that was a challenge. But I seem to have handled it quite well. What was the most rewarding aspect of writing this book? Look, I did a lot of weird research to create this novel. I asked if I could take a tour of a maximum security prison in New South Wales, and I was allowed that access, which I was very surprised by, because I just kind of turned up and was like, hey, I'm Candace Fox, you know, will you let me in? Not literally at the gates, but, you know, that's that's metaphorically what I did. And they said yes, and I got an access all areas tour. And that was rewarding because I was experiencing prisons again. I was asking all of those questions I wanted to ask. I was seeing the difference between Australian prisons and you know, prisons that I have visited in the US. I've been to death row in San Quentin, for example, and I could see similarities between the inmates and their environment, and the inmates here in Australia and their environment. And I hadn't been in a prison in Australia since I was about maybe 10 years old. So the experience was familiar and foreign at the same time. And then just being that close to Australia's most violent people, that was really inspiring for me, and shocking and disturbing. It's really hard to disturb me. So whenever I'm disturbed, something amazing is going on. What are your top three tips for aspiring writers? I have so many tips for aspiring authors. First of all, always learn. Just keep learning. Do whatever you can to learn your craft. That's not only, you know, reading the work of other people, which is a given, but also studying writing wherever you can. If you go and do an online course or a TAFE course or a university course, whatever level it's at, you have to study this craft, because it's okay, you know, to be a self-trained writer, just like it's okay to be a self-trained guitar player, but you'll be better if you take some lessons. And you'll find your voice and what you do and don't like simply by doing it. I suggest that everyone who wants to take this job seriously get an agent, because agents are invaluable in turning this into a career for you. And I suggest that you write multiple works. Don't just write one book. Because if you write one book and it doesn't get published and you put it in a drawer and give your writing up forever, that's just not the way to get your dream, I think. So set your sights on 4 or 5 novels before you get published, because that's, you know, that's what I'm hearing from other authors, and that's the story that I had. I was 5 novels in before I was published for the first time. So if you're published before then, if it's the first thing you ever wrote and it goes massively and it's everyone's dream, then good on you. But it may end up being 4 or 5. Okay, so now I'm going to read the first chapter of my latest novel, The Chase. This is The Chase by Candace Fox. Chapter 1. From where she sat at the back of the bus, the driver's death was a confusing spectacle to Emily Jackson. She had a good view down the length of the vehicle from her position, leaning against a window smeared with the fingerprints of happy children. Her seat was elevated over the rear wheel axle, so as she rode, she could see youngsters jumping and crashing about the interior, playing games and teasing each other across the aisle, occasionally throwing a ball or smacking a catcher's mitt into a rival's head. Half of the other parents on the bus were ignoring their children's activity, gazing out the windows at the Nevada desert, some with AirPods in their ears and wistful looks on their faces. Others were making valiant attempts to dampen the chaos and noise, confiscating water bottles, phones, and toys being used as weapons, or dragging wandering toddlers back to their seats. 40 minutes of featureless sand and scrub beyond the garish structures and swirling colours of Vegas was a lot for kids to endure. When the bus bumped over a loose rock on the narrow road to the prison, Emily saw all the other passengers bump with it, the bus and its riders are synchronized parts of a unified machine. She didn't have to nudge her son Tyler as they approached the point at which Pronghorn Correctional would come into view. Tyler had been coming to the annual pre-Christmas softball game at the facility since he was a kindergartner and had only missed 1 year when his father strained his back fixing the garage door and couldn't play second pitcher against the minimum security inmates as he usually did. Tyler's familiarity with the journey seemed to give him a sixth sense, and she watched as he flipped his paperback closed, shifting upwards in his seat. No landmark out there in the vastness told mother and son they were approaching the last gentle curve in the road. Hard, cracked land reached plainly towards the distant mountain range. Then the pair watched through the bus's huge windshield as the collection of wide, low concrete buildings rose seemingly out of the sand. "Who's your money on this time?" Emily asked the teen. A 5-year-old in the seat in front of them started pointing and squealing at the sight of the prison up ahead. Tyler considered his mother's question, watching the boy in front of him with quiet distaste, as if he hadn't once been just the same, so excited to see Daddy at work. "I'm betting inmates," Tyler decided, giving his mother a wry smile. Dad says they've been practicing during yard time for months. Traitor, Emily smirked. How about you?
Officers, she said.
If you're going for the cons, I've got to go for the correctional officers or your father won't spit. A thump cut off Emily's words. It was a heavy, sonic pulse, not unlike a firework exploding, a sound Emily both heard and felt in the center of her chest. Her brain offered up a handful of ordinary explanations for the noise, even as her eyes took in the visual information that accompanied it. A blown tire, she thought, or a rock crunching under the bus's wheels. Some kind of spontaneous combustion in the vehicle's old rickety engine, a piston or cylinder giving out due to the rugged terrain and the desert's usually blinding heat. But none of those explanations aligned with what Emily saw. The driver slumped sideways out of his seat, caught and prevented from falling into the stairwell only by the seatbelt over his shoulder. A fine pink mist seemed to shimmer in the air before dissipating as quickly as it had appeared. Emily grabbed the seat in front of her and held on as the bus swung off the road and slowed to a stop in the shrubbery. Her eyes wandered over the scene at the front of the bus. The passengers in the first two rows were examining their hands or touching their faces as though they were damp. Hundreds of tiny cubes of glass lay over the driver, the dash, and the aisle, the side window having neatly collapsed and sprayed everywhere, exactly as it was designed to do. Emily recognized Sarah Gravel up there, rising unsteadily from her seat and walking to the driver's side. Emily could see, even from her distant position, that half the driver's head was gone. Sarah looked at the driver, and everybody watched her do it, as if they were waiting for her to confirm what they already knew. Sarah stumbled back to her seat and sat down. Emily's tongue stuck to the roof of her mouth, her body suddenly covered in a thin film of sweat. Sarah Gravel started screaming, and then everyone was screaming.
I think the thing that Candice does brilliantly is to create compelling characters who really leap off the page. This is sure to be another bestseller for Candice. She is a number one New York Times bestselling author. So if you want to get your hands on a copy, get along to your bookstore or library now. Candice is not only an award-winning crime author and best-selling author, she's also the creator of our self-paced course, Anatomy of a Crime, How to Write About Murder. And this is an awesome course. I've gone through the whole thing. I learned so much and it was fantastic. It covers 9 modules of fascinating detail. So if you're writing crime or thriller or anything that has to do with a murder, you want to make sure you're writing about it authentically so that your reader really believes what's happening in your story. So this course takes you beyond the police tape to explore what motivates killers and how they go about their business. You'll also immerse yourself in the chase, from the murder scene and the autopsy, you know, back even including premeditation, to the investigation that follows. Plus, because it's one of our online self-paced courses, you'll get instant access and you can learn at your own pace with 12 months access to all course materials. It really is a fantastic course. I guarantee you'll learn so much. You can find out more at murdercourse.com. That's murdercourse.com. Thanks for listening to Story Sessions of So You Want to Be a Writer. You'll find more details about the podcast and a wealth of writing resources and courses at writerscentre.com.au. This podcast is brought to you by the Australian Writers' Centre. Do connect with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at writerscentre.au, and of course, connect with us personally in our free podcast listener community on Facebook. Just search for So You Want to Be a Writer podcast community and request to join. Alice and I will be back to our regular programming in the next episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to chatting to you again next time.